Winston City Council, August 15th, 7 p.m.
Nobody does.
There's several ways of looking at that, my friend.
It's so hard to be humble.
Yeah. Well, we're going to call this meeting to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Roll call, please. Dave Cunningham.
Here.
Alicia Sullivan.
Here.
Scott Rudder, I'm here. Councilor White and Councilor Hobson are excused due to illness. Any adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Bauer?
Yes, Your Honor, we have one. We will have an executive session pursuant to potential litigation. Estimated time, 10 minutes.
Thank you, sir. At this point, we'd like to swear in the city recorder, or swear at the city recorder, which is
swear
it?
At.
Well, do you have the the swearing sheet?
No, it's okay. We did.
I swore her in actually.
He told me.
You were swearing at her before?
Yeah. So she's now officially sworn in, and we'll be doing all the swearing in from now on.
Congratulations, Cindy. Thank you very much for accepting that mantle. Okay, the consent agenda, approval of the council minutes for July 11th and July 18th. They're in your packet. Any comments, questions, corrections? Looking for a motion, please, to approve those minutes.
I make a motion we approve the minutes.
Have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to approach the dais and speak to the council? Seeing none, thank you very much. Park Board, August 9th. Alicia, the council liaison, you have a report?
I do. The first item is that Edie Young has announced her resignation as chairperson. She's going to remain on the board, but resigning as the chair. They did nominate Jack Holland as the replacement. We discussed the pavilion and building that possibly in phases with the funds that are available. So I believe the Park Board will be making a recommendation on that. And then lastly, it was discussed what should funnel through the Park Board as far as reservations, and they decided that if a structure is involved, then that would go through the Park Board. So they approved that.
So every reservation at the community center will have to be approved by the Park Board?
If a structure is involved, so to clarify a little bit, if someone rents the park and rents the stage area, that would be considered a structure, so that would go through the Park Board. The pavilion's not currently available, so that's not under consideration as far as a structure goes. Other than that, that's a...
So the community center is not a structure?
The community center is, but it's under a completely different program.
Okay, I was just trying to get clarification on if they had to approve everything. It seemed to be a bit cumbersome.
Right.
Okay. And that's one of the things, Mayor, that we're going to, the next meeting, we're going to kind of follow up on that, do a little more clarification. Because you're right, because a lot of times we'll have a partner will come in. You know, they're short. They may come. We have, for example, we had one the day of the Park Board when they wanted the stage. So getting people in here in front of the board if that's something they want to see. So we'll have to clarify what all they want to see.
Okay, thank you. Have you finished?
That's all.
Questions regarding the stage. Have we gotten any further with the relocating of some of the storage that's there? We haven't. Have we even started a discussion with anybody on that yet?
And the stage itself?
The rooms in the stage area that are being used as permanent storage?
I would say no.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions on that? Economic Development, August 10th, Thomas McIntosh, please.
Mayor, members of the council, of the audience, just a brief update for you. There's the core project that was briefly discussed, their progress down there. We talked a little bit about the sample that came in, fostered a lot of optimism. Non-detects on everything, came back very clean. Thank you, Mayor. So that was briefly discussed. The apartment project, complex project down Brockway 42, that was also briefly discussed. Some of the same things that we've kind of discussed in previous meetings. Went over again that economic development being an action-taking body, no different than park board or any other board, commission, or committee. So we're very anxious to bring actionable items before the body of the board. So they can take action on it and do their function. So that was discussed briefly. Katie did not make the meeting, but the following economic development meeting, she will share a follow-up for the October Fest. We should get a meeting in prior to October just to talk a little bit on that, the progress on that, and those types of things. Happy to take any questions.
Perfect. Thank you. Any questions for Thomas? Thank you. Moving right along, department reports. Chris, Mr. Sherlock's wastewater treatment reports in your packet. You get that okay, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your Honor, just in addition to Chris's written report, one piece of work that we're currently moving forward on is having the plant engineers, Carrello and Associates, come in and do a load study to determine the capacity of the current plant. So that's will be underway shortly.
Good, thank you. We need a big load there, right?
Yeah, we need load there, yeah.
Okay. Chief Sardi, anything to report?
I do have a couple things. Let's get up here so the council can hear me. Mayor, council members of our staff. The mayor asked me to give a report on the graffiti crews for Winston.
Please.
So I just kind of wanted to give you an outline of what we did as far as activities and stats, and then our plan, our future plan with their group. We had a 10-year-old. He rode his little scooter out in front of a Jeep up on Looking Glass. The Jeep was going really slow. He did get hit by the Jeep. It was minor injuries. He didn't go to the hospital. So that was one incident. We had three criminal reports. We had one non-criminal report. We had 25 traffic warnings, 25 traffic citations, three criminal citations, and five arrests. We ended up with 11 calls for service. We had Myrtle Creek, Sutherland, and County assisting us on this. And I think we had everyone at the PD working except for day shift. Yeah, so everyone at the PD was working. The other issue that we had two locations on Abraham where they were dumping water on the roadway, and they were getting really creative behind it, where they would, one guy would be behind the fence, and he would shoot water up over the fence, but we couldn't see who that was, right, to get it on the roadway. And then they would have signs on each side to let people know if it was a cop or no cops. So they had a plan to, and it was kind of interesting how they had that set up. So there was two locations on Abraham Street, and they had two locations up on Looking Glass as well, do the same thing. So that being said, I think we need to redirect the crews. My recommendation is going up Glenhart, Looking Glass and around, and keeping it all in the inner lanes and locking it down a little bit. bit better, and I think we'll have more control that way if we do it. It does bring the crowds in, could cause a little bit more problems, but with the officers that we have attend this, I don't think it's going to be an issue.
Several people I've talked to, business owners, have expressed a desire to try to figure out how to get it to cover more of the business district.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you're going to figure that out.
I will tell you that the when Kyle owned the Winston In-N-Out, he actually had a live band. It brought people there. And so I think the businesses need to be creative. I know Looking Glass Brewery, they're creative. Get creative on bringing people there so they're not actively in the cruise route where they can break away, go have a burger, have a beer, whatever, and then go back to the cruise route. So I think there's still that possibility. We're going to get some heat from the business owners where the cruise goes by, but I'm looking at a safety perspective, and I think
I encourage.
I still think the businesses, if they get creative, they can get business. We got a lot of people here during that time. So
did you have any kind of account or any kind of an estimate?
I know that it was lower than last year, so we're going to have a committee meeting with this organization to talk to them about it and voice our concerns about it. But I remember Clay telling me something about 400. I think 400 permits or 400 things were issued out for the graffiti cruise. But there's a lot of people that are just getting into it. And then when they got caught, they just got away. It's so open and broad, right? So there's no control that way. So I think actually if they control it and tighten it up, they'll get more people putting in. The year before they had 500, so they're at least 100 shy, I think. But we'll confirm that when we have our meeting.
Hey, Chief.
Yes, sir.
About those guys that put cop or no cop.
Yeah.
What would happen if you just put a couple of them in civilian clothing?
Not a whole lot. There's nothing legal or illegal that we can do about it other than, I mean, like, it's not like a conspiracy crime, so I don't know that it's a violation of what they're doing. And so I don't know that we would have anything. Can you think of anything, Sergeant, on that?
No, because you still got to get them stopped in a marked unit.
Right.
So.
And not only that, that was the other problem with the route being so big. Is, you know, everyone thinks that when we have a disturbance or a fight or whatever, that we can be Johnny on the spot and be there in a minute or so. Now, we're the same as everyone else. And so it takes us,
right,
you know, 15 minutes to get around there. So if we tighten that up with the officers that we have, we're going to be able to cover the area better and be better protected that way.
I was real impressed.
Okay, make that.
Yeah.
I was real impressed with, once I stopped by the department that day, that evening, I couldn't believe how many people were there. That was really cool.
Right. And we do that, like, Blackberry's this Saturday. So, there'll be a bunch of us attending Blackberry. So we all help each other out.
Yeah.
We were down at Summerfest in Myrtle Creek. We used to help out the county down at the, I think they call it Timber Days in Canyonville. So we all help each other out. This time we sent a lot of officers to the fair. You know, the county always helps us in the return of any type of major crimes. So when they do a major crime investigation, we don't have a detective, right? They can be hours and hours, and they can be in Portland, they can be wherever on this major crime that we can't return that favor. So the only way I can is giving them people a fair amount.
Sure. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we have our graveyard actually go out at nighttime, and I call it cleaning our nest. It's trying to keep the city safe and keeping it clean. And part of cleaning our nest is making sure that our traffic lights are all up and running. So we had 19 of them that were out that the sergeant reported to PB&L.
Street lights, you mean?
Street lights, yeah. And so we had some of those fixed. And you know, everyone that sees them out, they can report online on their own. They don't need to call the city. But we get a list for the graveyard guys when they're tired, they need to get out of their car, they get out and they start looking at streetlights and write down locations and put them in on a list. And we try to do that every couple of months. It's nothing that we're required to do, it's something we just want to keep.
Well, yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, so.
Do you know if that information is available on the website?
For the streetlights? On our website?
On our website.
That I don't know. I have no idea. Is there a link on there? The sergeant entered 19 of them today.
Yeah.
So, and PP&L, the thing about PP&L, they're going to get paid no matter what. So we're paying for those lights if they're working or not working.
Right.
So I'd rather have our nest clean and keeping those lights up and running. Keeps the.
We talked to somebody in April at the LOC meeting in Hermiston. They would come in and do those lights, but these are not our lights. But they do. They're doing LED now.
Right.
And it really reduces the draw, but makes them, it's an expensive process.
It is.
And
I think they're over $1,000 or $1,500 a head.
How many do we have?
I think we have a couple of them in different crosswalks.
No. How many lights do we have?
A lot. Oh, God.
Yeah.
We also looked into grants for doing that for LED lighting, and there wasn't any available at least at that point in time, so.
Very good, thank you.
Yes, sir. Any questions for me? No, that's it.
Thank you, sir. Thomas.
Mayor, members of the council.
Community development.
Yeah, thank you. There's just two quick things for you. We have two significant plans that are coming to a close to where the two consulting agencies are nearing completion to where we can go through adoption. The first is the transportation system plan. You can recall it started back January, the beginning of 2021. It's quite the comprehensive plan, so it takes them a while. This was an ODOT grant, a significant one. And the transportation system plan has a lot of different key indicators in there, a lot of data. They broke that in. They're to the solution stage, which means they're looking at, okay, we've identified the detriment, now let's find solutions to the infrastructure deficiencies. And that's kind of the meat and potatoes on what we can use to go towards getting grant money. So by the end of the year, we should be at a place to where we can go through adoption. However, we're kind of at a public outreach, another public outreach portion of the project or process as well. And we're recommending that we do a joint workshop on September 19th prior to the council meeting. That would be with planning commission and with council. And what this would do is it would allow our consulting group to give a presentation to talk about the solutions, which is the good part of the process, and get some feedback from council moving towards adoption. Want to get your approval to get that on the agenda.
So we need to do that tonight then, or?
We're hoping to put that on the agenda and get the notices out.
So you don't need a motion to get it on the agenda, do you? You just need to put it on the agenda.
We don't need a motion to put it on the agenda.
Okay, but we need to get it on the agenda though, please.
Yes, the other thing is our housing needs analysis. Did you have any questions on the TSP portion? Great. The other plan is our housing needs analysis. We got a grant through the Department of Land Conservation Development. This tells us how many housing units we're going to need, a lot of analysis around that. They are coming to a concluding portion. We're not looking at a joint workshop for that with Planning Commission and Council until probably the second week of October. But we will have to hold them. They have one more in-person meeting that's in their budget that was budgeted in as part of the grant funding that was available. So we're going to be looking to target that, but we don't have to set that date until our next council.
How does that connect, if at all, to the SDC charge study that's being done?
There's not a whole lot of overlap. The only overlap is that the housing needs analysis gives full volition on, look, we need this many additional housing units. And so the development community has to come in, and when the building takes place, that's when the SDCs are tacked on. There's no language that I can recall in anywhere in that analysis.
Just curious if it connected at all. Thank you. Anything else, Tom?
No, that concludes.
Any questions for Thomas? Dave?
No, sir.
Alicia?
No.
Great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Andy Howell, Public Works.
Good evening, Mayor, council members, fellow staff. Just kind of updates on kind of the public work around Public Works. The West Side Project, we're looking for advertisement August 17th. So it's coming close. We're looking at going off a bid for 3 weeks, possibly. See what kind of favorable bids we get back on that one. And just kind of recap again, that's that Rose Street from Sherry Reed and Sherry from Morgan to Rose. Glen Court, which is definitely needs some help. Pipe bursting that 15-inch AC up Looking Glass and Abraham. And we've also included the Rose Street main line that we kind of talked about earlier.
Right.
Get behind. So that's on there. And like we discussed, we're going to look at it. Then we'll have to see what kind of numbers, and then if we have to scale back, whatever, then we can readjust. But anyway,
which one's more critical, do you think, sir?
That's tough because they're all critical. So it's really hard. You know, with that 15-inch AC, that's, that's a trunk. So this behind, so we'll have to do a serious evaluation.
Speaking of trunk, does that come off the Safari?
The Safari ties into it, yes.
Yeah.
And that'll be part of part of evaluating that because we don't really know what kind of flow we're experiencing there. We know it's some flow.
Okay. Well, how do we establish that?
More than likely, it'll be some type of meter. We'll look at a metering
device. That prior to the bursting or post-bursting?
It'll be post, more than likely, because we're going to have to upsize that manhole. We already know we got to upsize that current manhole. We call it the alpha hole for a reason. There's a lot of activity into that hole, manhole. So the alpha hole is something that's...
hence the trunk line.
Yes, it's the alpha hole. We also did some discovery work out on the remotes. Off Abraham, we have a remote main lines out there. We actually got in there. It's the first time since I've been here that we've actually got out there physically with our truck and CCTV equipment. And we inspected all that from Abraham all the way through out in the field to snow pump station. It's all AC. Our report said it was concrete, but we confirmed it's not. It's AC line, 15 inch and 21 inch. So it's rather large. We have an open ditch out there right now that's a drainage ditch that picks up the drainage off of Abraham. Currently right now that ditch is eroded to the point of we have a manhole on the west side of the ditch, and then we have our 15-inch trunk. It's another 15-inch trunk that runs out through the field, and it's about 6 feet deep, the ditch, and the top of that pipe is about 6 feet. So now we're looking at doing some, So we're going to have to bring some rock and riprap and probably some CDF. And we just have the funds right now to get in there and dig that to tackle that pipe. So we'll be looking at that one.
What kind of shape is the pipe in?
Actually, for AC pipe, it's what we looked at. It looks pretty decent. We got a couple spots in it, but I mean the one of the reasons why is because we haven't been cleaning it ever. So now that you start maintaining them, you start the wear process a lot quicker. So that's something we'll monitor. The community center roof, we're looking at next week to go up for bids on that also. We budgeted $292,000, preliminary estimate's about $240,000. So we're hoping to be below our budgeted amount. We'll have a better idea. We're having a little difficult, strictly very preliminary. It's a tough time getting back from contractors, so it's just kind of like throw something.
Has the engineer, will he be here for the bid letting?
Yeah, we'll advertise and then when we do the bid opening, we'll be at City Hall. We're actually doing some investigation for some bird deterrents at Public Works. We had that open bay we kind of talked about. We're looking at some spikes and different things, trying to keep the birds out of there. They're just wreaking havoc on our stuff down there, so we're looking at that one. Also, our vehicle washdown area. Years ago, we did an improvement to that when we got a pad. We have a little sump, but we need to kind of update that a bit. We need to do some more improvements because that stuff kind of drains into the river, so we have to do some stuff there. We're looking at that one. It's part of the DMDL requirements, so we figured we did a couple checks with that one. We have the media with the parks, SDCs. They're laying out cost. We provided a scene with some of the projects we're working on at the park board with items, and anyway, we'll put some numbers to that one. It's not fulfilled list, but kind of a general idea. Once he has those, that'll be a kind of a baseline for costs. That'll help put those SDCs together. And then we're continuing on putting our CCTV reports together for Civil West for the sewer SDCs. So we're gonna be utilizing that information and working on that. And so it's a pretty lengthy list also. So we're going to cover that one up. And just a little bit of information, we have another tree down Lower Ruben Park. I don't know if anybody went down there today, but so the big cottonwood's down. So we've lost several. We're probably going to lose several more there. So they're fairly large, and they just snap and rotted and break off.
Is that something we need to worry about? Maybe cleaning them up prior to the breakage? Or?
You know, they're so tough because when they just go like that one.
You don't know until they break, yeah.
You know, we have one at the top and it. We're looking at that one, but shoot, we start taking, we're going to address the danger ones we can, but this one just happened over the weekend. I had no idea.
Wow.
Just driving through there. So that's kind of the update. So.
Thank you. I do have a question. Earlier during Alicia's report, she mentioned the pavilion and working on the pavilion in stages. How do you propose that you're just going to stick the post up and let them be by themselves, or what are you thinking?
That's a good question. I think one of the things, just to get some traction, because there's one of the things we're looking at doing, there's a little over 13,000 Wake Up has in funds. And one of the things we're kicking around is get the footings in place. So they're concrete, they're 2x2x3 rebarred. And so there's something, that would be something we could actually get the footings in place. And then okay. We'll get that chunked off. And then we can go out and look for some posts, some blue lamp posts possibly. And then start generating, we can even storm a public works bench. Just something to get.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say. We're going to start inventorying the stuff and then build it when we can.
Just some traction, because realistically, to come up with that kind of money, anyway, that's what we're looking for.
So. We're putting plywood up against the walls on the tennis court. That's going to be a volunteer project, or already has been. I'm not sure.
That's been completed.
Okay. So what's to keep volunteers from building the pavilion once we have all the product together? Would that save enough to be worthwhile? No? Okay.
Yeah, no.
Typically what happens is that when it comes down to it for volunteer projects, you typically don't get very many volunteers, and the ones that you do get aren't typically prepared for the kind of work that's necessary.
Yeah, you're so diplomatic.
Yeah, so we in the past have had to take some stuff apart and redo it as a result.
Enough said, sir. Thank you very much. Sorry. Okay, I went blank here. Well, since you're talking, Mr. Bauer, and are you done with yours?
Yes, sir.
Great, thank you. Mark, anything for the administration to share with us?
Yeah, I wanted to cover the legislative priorities that we sent out, the packet, the LOC packet. Mayor, you responded and gave us 5. We've got to get 5 back to LOC.
Friday.
By Friday. So I wanted to cover that tonight. There are 29 total categories, and we have to pick 5. Some of them are not too tough to single out, some of them are, but I just wanted to go start with the five that you listed, Mr. Mayor. First one, economic development incentives. Second one is infrastructure funding. Third one's Measure 110 shortcomings. Number 4 is protecting public employees and officials. And the last one was lodging tax flexibility. So some of these are, they're pretty just self-stated. The Measure 110 shortcomings it has to do with the shortcomings in really getting any treatment available for.
There was several of those things discussed over the weekend, last week, and that was one session that I thought was very interesting, and that Measure 110 shortcomings, it's exactly that.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd rather take the ticket and keep doing what they're doing.
And the, when you look at this other stuff, the lodging tax flexibility, it just give us, if we generate it, continue to generate any, gives us more flexibility over its use for different categories.
They want to change the percentages back to what they were.
Right. The other thing is, there's another, protecting public employees and their families. Society has just become, I guess, more dissatisfied with public employees and elected officials and their jobs, and they want to make sure that there's protections in place so we don't have to give out names and addresses, especially like of our police staff. We don't want that information out there. So that's that one. The infrastructure funding is pretty self-stated as far as that goes. And then economic development incentives was the last one. There are some others that you might want to consider. If you were to replace any of these that I had circled, one was local funding to address homelessness. that's one that's going to continue to come down the pike. That's one that's not going away.
Well, I was thinking more along the way, how about state funding to reduce the homeless issue, because we don't have any.
That's what it would tip. It'd either be that, basically it's the generation of a new tax.
Oh, goody.
I would say fee, but it's not. It's going to be a tax in order to create the funding to deal with the problem. So that's one. Attorney-client privilege is another one. I don't think that's as big an issue as it might sound, but there was a court case that limited that to 25 years, I think. That's right. And they want to ensure that once it's in place, that it's definitely there to continue to protect that information from someone who might be trying to sue the city or otherwise get into your attorney feedback. Property tax reform, that's been on here every year that I can remember since I've been here. It's been one of the legislative priorities each year.
And it's not changing.
And so that's another one. And then the last one, because this one hits home, is funding for recovery of abandoned recreational vehicles.
That's easy. We just take them to Andy's.
to the Public Works parking lot?
Yeah. Andy's RV lot. He's going to start hanging for sale signs. That's right. Hanging for sale signs out there and moving some product.
Well, there's that's the only other one I thought was specifically hit home for us.
Dave, have you worked on that project yet?
Yes, and I thought I turned that back in about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He hit Mark hit on several of the ones that I put down. So it's amazing that great minds think alike.
Yeah, so unless you want to change any of the five that the mayor has penciled out to anything else, we could do that, or otherwise we could just go move forward with these five.
Alicia, what do you think?
Well, I'm a little bit worried about the homelessness item, but it's really hard to narrow this down to five.
Yes. Yeah, there's at least 9 or 10 good ones. Mm-hmm.
Those five that I used were probably the ones that were in the homelessness was one of them too. Mm-hmm. But there's 5 or 6 that they'd highlighted of the whatever 10 or 12 that they'd made suggestions on, and those were the most popular. Are we limited to just five?
Yes.
I think one of the most important ones of the five is infrastructure.
Yes, that's what yeah. I would place as number one too.
Yeah, infrastructure, homelessness. I guess we have to do it. I mean, whether we want to or not.
And just to read the background on that real quick, the LOC recognizes that to end homelessness, a statewide and community-based coordination approach to delivering services, housing, and programs is needed. Addressing homelessness will look different and involve different service provider partners from one city to the next. But one thing is consistent: addressing the crisis requires significant financial resources. While cities across Oregon have developed programs, expanded service efforts, built regional partnerships, and have significantly invested both local general fund and federal CARES Act dollars and the American Rescue Plan dollars into programs to address the homelessness crisis. The crisis continues. The homelessness crisis exceeds each city's individual capacity necessitating the need for meaningful fiscal support from the state of Oregon. So, and you know, that, and that's the truth. I mean, the fact of the matter is that without some significant funding source, it's really, it's not going anywhere. So.
Well, it's really kind of interesting, if I could interject just a little side note here. It's been a major topic here in Anchorage. The city threw a lot of money at the homelessness, and they put in some places for them to go. And so what's happening, the homeless is coming in from the outer communities and everything and taking up refuge in what the city of Anchorage is providing. So they're actually had a major increase in their homeless population.
I believe the same thing is happening in Portland and Salem as well.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to putting the homelessness situation on that list either. It's going to have to be dealt with, and it needs to be a positive, not a negative, process.
I agree with that.
So if we put that on there, we've got to remove one of the ones from the list. And that's probably the harder thing to do.
I know. Mm-hmm. Briefly, the Measure 110, what is that one?
Yeah, that one is, again, When the state passed the laws to allow for personal amounts of heroin and cocaine and methamphetamine and Schedule I drugs, what they said was it's $100 ticket, or we'll waive the $100 ticket. Number one, if you don't have any money. Or number two, if you go through a treatment program in order to resolve that issue. So that's what the shortcomings are, is that they haven't been able to create all the treatment programs necessary to really...
Well, I think there are plenty of treatment programs have been created. It's the desire of the people to do anything about their treatment. Mm-hmm. They'd just rather pay the fine or duck the fine and move on. There's no real serious impetus for them to enter treatment like they were hoping they were going to find.
So if I give you the full background on it, it says that Oregon voters passed Measure 110 in 2020, which eliminated criminal sanctions for simple possession of most narcotic drugs, and replace them with a waivable $100 ticket. A citation cannot be issued if a person seeks treatment by calling a treatment referral service. The measure also redirects local marijuana revenue to harm reduction services. Those funds are now pooled and distributed by an oversight and accountability committee. Oregon's overdose deaths continue to increase, and funds that should have been distributed in January 2021 are still not delivered. Additionally, problems related to drug abuse, such as property crimes, have increased. So it's just not working out the way they had hoped it would work out.
Wonder how many of these are actually going to be addressed.
Yeah, that's a significant problem all in itself with the...
And then how many of these unintended consequences aren't going to be addressed? That's right. The ones that get me are the people that think these, oh, we didn't think that would happen. Well, you didn't think it clear, did you?
That's right.
You missed a couple spots.
Let's see. The economic development incentives is another... One, just to review background on quickly here. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, the background on it is that the EZ and LTR EZ programs provide local governments the option to offer a temporary full exemption from property taxes for qualified new property of a business 3 to 5 years for the standard EZ and 7 to 15 years for the rural EZ. The SIP program allows local governments to offer a 15-year exemption on the value of new property that exceeds a certain investment threshold, $25 million to $100 million, depending on location.
Okay, let's stop you right there. So in my opinion, since we don't have any commercial or industrial property, this would work. We'll throw that one out.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay.
That's one I was going to pick.
All right.
Okay, look, we fixed it. Any other additions? Either of you would like to make or changes to that list?
No.
Are you sure you're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have infrastructure funding, Measure 110 shortcomings, protecting public employees and officials, lodging tax flexibility, and local funding for homelessness. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
We will forward them to the league.
Anything else, Mr. Bauer?
That's all I have for today.
Okay. That's old business, new business, licenses, JW Construction, Inc., Tyler Head, Veristone Funding 1, or Veristone Fund 1, LLC, Dimitri Vices, Steve's Electric, Stephen McFall, RC Otis, LLC, Robert Otis, and Papa Bear Brush Removal, Timothy Lorenz. Chief, we've all been approved?
Yes, sir.
Looking for a motion to approve the business licenses. Anybody have any questions on them? Maybe that's a better place to go.
I make a motion we approve the business licenses.
I have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Resolution 22-1059, Douglas County Dispatch Services Agreement. By title only, Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 22-1059, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with Douglas County, a political subdivision of the state of Oregon, to provide communication services on a 24-hour basis for dispatching law enforcement.
Mr. or Chief Sardi, please, staff report.
Mayor, council members, staff members. In 1995, we actually switched over from our own dispatch center to Douglas County. We've been with Douglas County Dispatch since then. We've had contracts that we've done, either a 3 or 5 year contract over the last many, many years. The last contract finished up on June 30th of this year. We have it budgeted currently for a 3% increase. So kind of a breakdown of that is last year, we were $81,320. Our new contract's asking for a 3% increase. It'll be $83,760. We'll also be adding in this radio usage fee for $6,709. So we budgeted for, and it's in our current budget, for $90,469. Staff recommends that we approve this so we can continue using Douglas County Dispatch. This contract's only for 1 year. You know, the negotiations on this is very interesting. It's basically, we're told what it is. So there's really not a lot of communication going back and forth. We've had the managers involved in it. The chiefs and the fire chiefs have been dealing with it for a lot of years. But this last go around, we have the managers actually involved because they added in usage fee. The other fee that we have coming is our maintenance fee. They keep on bringing all these fees together. So that's where we're at.
Radio usage fee, are we using their radios or our radios?
We use our own radios.
So we pay a fee to use our own radios?
Yeah, there's a couple things that's going on that I think they're kind of looking at. One is they're looking to find out how many radios we have so they can charge based on a radio amount. I've already talked to the other chiefs about this, and our plan is, one, it's none of their concerns on how many radios we have. And two is that if they choose to do that by an ID number, I'll make them all the same. they won't know how many radios. It's not their business to know how many radios. If they want to charge me based on the usage of the system, that's one thing. And that's based on officers or whatever, that's one thing. But I don't think they need to base it because I have four extra radios at the station in case one breaks, and they're going to charge me for those radios. So it's not their concern. Anyway, so I'm asking for approval, and it is currently budgeted.
Any questions for Chief Sardi? Okay, I'm looking for a motion then to approve resolution 22-10-1059.
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 22-1059.
Have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Congratulations, Chief. You're going to play with radios this year.
Thanks, sir.
Resolution 22-1060, please. That is going to be read by title only. Ms. Sardi, please. This is the grant for an electronic fingerprinting device.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 22-1060. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to accept a grant for a digital fingerprinting and mugshot machine called LifeScan, to which the city will have a 10% match requirement in an amount not to exceed $2,509.19.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Sergeant Stifler, please.
Councilor and Mayor and staff, the police department was contacted through OSP in regards to this grant. Again, as Ms. Sardi stated, it's a 90-10 split for the LifeScan grant. This is already currently in the 2022-2023 budget as a capital outlay item. The machine, we're currently the last department in the area to still be using ink fingerprints. So therefore, if you're applying for a license, any type of background that you need fingerprint, ours are going to take longer to get you approval than other places. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward. Just ask the council to approve the resolution.
What kind of revenue does this generate for the city?
So each fingerprint, we charge $25 for a set of two. Each additional card, I believe, is $10? $5 or $10 for each additional card. So far, it's going to take us a little over a year and a half to pay our portion back at our current rate. I'm hoping once we get the electronic machine, though, and word gets out, especially as we get a lot of them from UCC, nursing students all have to have their background checks. Mm-hmm. So we'll do a lot of those. So I'm hoping our numbers will increase as far as the number of fingerprints we do.
You do that in the lobby there?
Yeah. And part of this grant is so it's ADA compliant. So we'll be able to accommodate almost anybody with the public for their fingerprinting needs.
You gonna advertise?
Actually, we have kind of advertised with UCC that if you need your fingerprints for your license, come down. I have actually even thought about going there on certain days at the beginning of the school year, because we'll get on certain days, once they find out we have, we'll get 10, 15 sometimes a day.
Excuse me a second. Hey, Andy, could they borrow your computer radio van to take that machine up to the college?
We may work something out.
Thank you. Any questions for Sergeant Stifler?
Sergeant, did you write that grant?
Yes and no. It wasn't an application process. It was kind of weird the way it happened. Is OSP said, hey, would you be interested in this money? We said yes. Next thing I know, I get an email from state police saying, hey, have you spent the money yet? I'm like, didn't know we were approved. That was kind of they kind of dropped the ball on their end letting people know, so.
Oh, okay.
So technically yes, technically no.
Okay.
Well, that's a political answer.
Yeah, well, he has aspirations. Anybody else have any questions for Sergeant Stifler? Okay, looking for a motion then to approve resolution 22-1060.
I make a motion we approve 22-10-60.
Have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Have a motion, a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Go play with your machine.
Thank you.
Okay, resolutions 22-1061, tourism grant for billboard advertising. Read by title only, Ms. Sardi, please.
Okay. Resolution number 22-1061. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into an agreement with the City of Roseburg to accept a tourism grant to have the city's Oktoberfest advertisement placed on 3 billboards, one in Eugene and 2 in Medford, in the amount of $4,800.
Thank you. And a staff report was prepared by Katie. Do you offer that, Mr. Brown?
Yeah, I'll brief. So, as with the City of Winston, the City of Roseburg also collects transient room tax. However, they collect it in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. We collect it in the thousands of dollars, or used to. As such, we applied for a grant through the City of Roseburg's transient room tax program. And we successfully received that grant in order to have 3 billboards advertised for the Oktoberfest. And actually that advertisement has been done. We've paid for it, and so we're just waiting to process this and then get reimbursement for the money.
So this is basically just a gift from the City of Roseburg. We're approving the, okay?
Yeah.
Any questions for Mr. Bauer? Okay, in that case, I'm looking for a motion to approve resolution 22-1061, a tourism grant for billboard advertising.
I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 22-1061.
I have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Okay, ordinance number 22-705, three parcel land grant or land partition and consent to annex. This is read by title only for the second reading. Ms. Sardi, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Ordinance number 22-705, an ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council annexing certain property identified as tax lot 800 in Township 28 South, Range 6 West, Section 20 BC, property ID number R62283, and within the ownership of Michael K. Miller Trust.
Okay, I have the ordinance. Thank you for the reading. Mr. McIntosh, we discussed this in the last council meeting, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It was on the agenda for the July 18th meeting.
Okay, anything to add?
Not at this time, to reiterate, ordinance 22705 completes an annexation process for property located on the corner of Brockway and Woodland Drive within the urban growth boundary for the City of Winston. And the property owner requested a 3 parcel land partition, and due to the additional stress on sewer and infrastructure of 2 more parcels, the annexation became a necessary step towards mitigation. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions for Mr. McIntosh? Okay, I'm looking for a motion to approve ordinance 22-705. Either of you.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance 22-705.
Have a motion, looking for a second?
Second.
Have a motion, a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Okay, so now we are done with the ordinance and resolution part of the meeting. Mr. Bauer, any upcoming agenda items you wish to discuss?
We do, and they are, as Thomas had indicated earlier, we have the TSP workshop and approval process coming up, as well as a housing use analysis. So those will be 2 of our major pieces. We also have the SDC work coming forward for parks and sewer in the near future as well.
Any reports on the progress there?
I would ask Public Works Director Andy Howell if he has any information.
Just that we're moving forward with it. We're hoping next week the city is putting some information together. We kind of talked a little prior a little bit about that, so we can get some information together. We're just kind of streaming forward on that. Both of them.
Perfect. Parks. Thank you, Andy. Mm-hmm. Any non-agenda items from council? Dave?
No, sir.
Alicia?
Nope.
Good of the order. We had check copies in the computer, claims in excess of $500. Announcements. September 5th is Labor Day, and the city offices will be closed. The next council meeting, Tuesday, September 6th at 7 p.m. Park Board, September 13th at 5 in City Hall, and Economic Development, September 14th at noon. Back to the September 6th council meeting. Are we needing any workshops at this particular point in time? Are we okay on those?
We're okay right now.
Okay, very good.
Other than the TSP and the housing need stuff.
Okay. Perfect, very good. Thank you. I'm going to take us into executive session. Appreciate you guys' participation. Thank you for being here. But Mr. Howell, Mr. McIntyre, Mr. Bauer will stay. We need the council to stay.
Do you need to read this for the record? Do you need to read this for the record or not?
Yeah.
To identify it before I shut them off. Is it litigation?
Yeah. It's potential litigation.
This is where we get the dollars.
Yeah. Oops. Litigation.
Okay. Break for executive session at 7:54 pursuant to ORS 1926602H to consult with counsel concerning the legal rights and duties of a public body with regard to current litigation or litigation likely to be filed.